Hello, and welcome to this episode of the EV Bids Podcast, where we're going to dive into how to maximize the value of your private party EV sale. So joining me today is Tori Hornsby, as usual. Tori, how's it going?
It's going great, Rod.
Good. So a lot of this that we're going to talk about today may seem like common sense, but we literally review thousands of private party marketplace listings per month, and we see some pretty wild stuff. So before we dive in too deep here, let's just review some high-level basics and a little bit of what we call industry trade slang. And so, Tori, when I say, you know, when I say merchandising your vehicle, that's kind of a term we would use in our dealership days. But merchandising your vehicle online as it pertains to industry lingo, kind of take it through our listeners. What does that mean to you?
So I would say merchandising your vehicle starts with ensuring that it's a clean vehicle. Wash it, shine the tires, clean up the wheel wells, vacuum and wipe down the interior. But it also includes having proper pricing that fits the market value, a well-written description on the marketplace that does a good job of telling potential buyers about your EV. And lastly, as the old saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. So having really good photos, it's worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, so we're going to drill into all of those topics a little bit deeper. And before we do that, as I mentioned, we see some pretty wild stuff with all of the listings that we go through. Can you take us through some of the most common mistakes you see with online vehicle merchandising?
Oh, absolutely. The first thing is not detailing the vehicle. It's amazing how many vehicles we look at that have bugs on the front, haven't really been cleaned. Maybe somebody took it through a basic car wash, but didn't wipe it down. Interior's not vacuumed. So not detailing the vehicle is probably the first common mistake that we see. Second, I would say is bad lighting. So there can be bad shadows or the sun is directly shining on the car and it just makes it look horrible. Makes the paint look uneven with the bright light from the sun. We've also seen a lot of pictures with crazy stuff in the background or inside of the car. You know, an example of that could be, for instance, I saw a picture of a car and there was a dumpster in the background. And so that connotation is trashy. This is a trashy car. And even though it doesn't seem like something that simple could lead to somebody thinking there's something about this car I just don't like, it seems trashy to me. Well, it was probably the trash in the background. Or inside of the car, something that you mentioned, Rod, was sports teams. So I might be a huge Georgia Bulldog fan, but if you've got Auburn stuff all over your car or in your car, it might psychologically detract me from buying your car. It can make a difference in whether
we're down here in the South. It's as we're doing this podcast, it's kind of the start of college football season, and people are nuts about their college football in the SEC. So it's pretty funny that having, you know, things that you would deem insignificant that could have an impact on people's interest.
Right. Yep. Also, in terms of common mistakes, just poor quality photos. I've seen everything from fuzzy, blurry photos to the vehicle isn't centered to you can see a finger where it was over the lens, the old finger on the lens trick, where that's a part of the photo, or, you know, just distractions otherwise about the photo.
And I think, Tori, that the poor quality photos, and we've obviously done this a lot, and so much, you mentioned earlier the bad lighting, and so much of the poor quality photos, there's a lot that goes into photos, but the lighting can arguably be the biggest make you or break you component, and you need to be in a shady spot. You need to not have the sun, you know, banging down towards your camera angle with shadows. And it really is the quality photos. I know I tend to think about just the quality of the camera, you know, but it's not the quality of the camera. You need a good camera, but man, that lighting really ties in there with the photos.
Any modern phone over the past few years has a quality enough camera to take the resolution of picture that you need. So it's exactly what you're saying. It's the making sure you have a clean camera lens, of course, but then doing your best to merchandise the vehicle to make it look as good as possible. And you mentioned shady. I've also seen pictures of vehicles where it's like partially shady. And that's not what we mean by shady. We mean like you would go to the west side of a building so that if the sun is out, it's blocking the sun. Like you're behind a building in the shade, not just where they're scattered shade, but full shade. That's the best way to do it. And then, you know, another thing is just not having enough photos. That's a huge common mistake. I know even Facebook Marketplace, for a long time, they limited you to 10 photos. Now you can put 20 on there, which is better. But I was always surprised by the limiting it to 10 photos because I want to see all the details that I possibly can so that I understand what I might be getting before I buy it. And then lastly is just not having a plan or having a lack of organization for taking the photos.
Yeah, I know it can seem like a simple task to go and take photos of your vehicle, but you know, just to kind of use an analogy of, if you think about, you know, an automobile being in most families the second largest asset or second largest purchase behind their home, you pretty much see all real estate listings these days have a professional photographer that goes and takes pictures, and there's a reason for that. And so, you know, yet we can go and just take pictures of our car and not even really think much about it and not really have a plan. And so, you know, when you say kind of winging it versus having a plan or having a system, drill into that for us. How do you have a plan for taking pictures of your car? That seems kind of silly almost.
Well, I would say having a checklist like the one that we provide here at EV Bids, because it, you know, the pictures can really increase the value of an EV. It can also, you know, having this checklist or this plan detailed out of everything that you're going to take and how you should take it will save a lot of time in the long run, because it will eliminate having to take and add additional photos later on, or not having to retake photos because of bad quality after you upload them and look at the photo, you go, man, this looks like garbage. So you have to go retake it. You know, that can also be, again, because of lighting or shadows, reflections. And also a system ensures that your photos don't get forgotten. But just kind of diving into some best practices for taking photos, I would say the first best practice is to take lots of photos. At EV Bids, we require 33, and that seems like a lot to people, but it really isn't. And photos are one of those, the more the merrier type of things. The more you have, the more value that you can build, and the more that people understand what they're getting and are more likely to move forward and buy your vehicle. I would also say choosing your location and your background is very important. Be careful with that. So
this is kind of a hot button for me, because I just see this so much. And, you know, I see the direct contrast when, you know, someone goes, for example, across the street from our office, we have a beautiful park, and, you know, it's just a gorgeous place. And it's very got a nice neutral background. That was the word I was looking for, a neutral place. And, just choosing, you know, we see, you know, lawnmowers in the backyard and the kids' toys and bicycles scattered all over the place. And, you know, grass hadn't been cut in 2 weeks. And, you know, it's just surprising to me how, I think, people don't realize how your background can be a reflection, and what's going on in the background can be a reflection on how the vehicle perhaps has been taken care of. And it really is, to your point, choosing your location and background carefully. It's we can't underestimate the importance of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, even if you have to, I mentioned pulling up behind a building where it's shaded. Even if you have to pull up one way, take pictures of half the car, and then move the car to turn it the other way, because if you go to the other angle, it's a mess in the background. So even if you have to move the car, it's better to have a neutral background than it is to have photos that have things in the background. Like just another, for instance, if you take pictures of a vehicle and the location you choose is a gravel road, what that says to a potential buyer is there's probably nicks all up the side of this and in the front. This thing's been driven on gravel, which is not great for a vehicle. So you would want to avoid taking pictures on a gravel road. But yeah, I've seen some great pictures of just blacktop, you know, asphalt parking lots where there's trees around and people move the vehicle to show the background of the trees consistently, or just up against a brick wall. It's behind a building up against a brick wall, and all you can see is the car. It's very neutral. And so against a brick or a stone wall, you know what stands out? The car.
It's a good point. The car needs to be the star of the show, not what's in the background.
Yep. And but also, I mentioned the dumpster earlier. Just pay attention to what's in the background. The reflections are huge. You can make your car look like it's got a lot of scratches and dings and challenges because it's picking up the reflection from the surface that it's parked on. And again, lighting has a big part in that as well. So just take good neutral pictures, make sure that the car looks as best as it possibly can. Another best practice is always take landscape pictures, whether you're using your phone or a camera. And basically what that means is that you're taking it horizontally and never portrait. So don't hold it like this to where the picture is big up and down this way, because every marketplace is designed to have landscape pictures. And so you always want to do landscape pictures. Walking around the vehicle, in terms of the number of photos that you get or the types, start at the front of the vehicle, and then do a corner, then do the side, then the back corner, then the back, the other back corner, the other side, the front corner. And then you can hone in on each door, the front quarter and the back quarter of each side, and get a little closer and a little more detailed so, again, people can see what they're going to be potentially buying. Builds a lot of value that way. Also get a close-up picture of each of the wheels and tires, so people can see the damage that are on the wheels. And if you want to, you get somebody to clean it up real good. I have seen, you know, my son, he has a BMW 328i, and his wheels were so dirty, and there were these black marks on it where they looked damaged. They really looked damaged. And I remember going, man, what did he hit? And he went to his buddy who does professional detailing, and they detailed it. And when he showed up, the wheels looked brand new. I couldn't believe it. So just clean it really, really good. Maybe pay for a professional detail, get somebody who knows what they're doing to come out, maybe do some touch-up paint if they do that type of service. But you want to be sure that you're getting all the wheels, that you get the trunk or the frunk. You get.
Hey, Tori, yeah. You mentioned, in the beginning, one of the common mistakes is people not detailing the vehicle. And when you're telling that story about TJ getting his BMW detailed, I know that for me, I've had this dilemma, I guess you could say, in my head before of, you know, like, is it really going to make that big a difference, you know, by me getting a professional detail done, maybe where they do a little bit of touch up to the wheels, maybe a little bit of touch up paint is done to a ding, you know, maybe a good fresh coat of wax, that professional detail where they use some compressed air and to blow some of the old chicken nuggets out of the cracks and crevices, like, is it really worth it? And there's kind of a resounding preponderance of proof that it is worth it. It just always is worth it. So if you're having that dilemma of, is it worth a professional detail, or is it worth me spending my Saturday 4 or 5 hours to do it right? It is worth it. It just is.
There's something called PDR. It's paintless dent repair. So if you have dings, do a search and see if you've got a local PDR guy, paintless dent repair. You would be amazed at what these guys can repair. I remember, my son's four-wheeler, he had it at the top of the driveway. Emergency brake wasn't set, and it was just sitting there, and somehow the right pull, wind gust or whatever, it just rolled down into my wife's car, and the ball of the brake lever like dented the side of her car. Like it put a line in it, a crease. And I just remember thinking, that's a new door. And I called a PDR guy out, and he drilled a hole in the door jamb, and he got in there with these tools, heated it up a little bit so the paint wouldn't, chip. And he just slowly worked and massaged the metal. And then he put a little rubber grommet in and sealed where he had drilled the hole. And it looked like it had never happened before. And it was, this was a while ago. It was a couple $100. So I'm sure it's a little more now. But you got to look at that and say, okay, if I get these paint chips done, the wheel repaired, or the PDR done, the paintless dent repair, will that help me to get the price that I want for just a little bit of an investment before I list it? So just things to consider.
Yeah, it's usually a resounding yes, is getting that, windshield repair, getting that ding fixed, getting those wheels, cleaned up, getting that gravel debris from underneath the tire, the wheel wells. That stuff just, it's just usually well worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And just continuing on here, I mentioned the frunk and the trunk area, take pictures of that. If it's messy and needs to be vacuumed, vacuum it. Get your stuff out of it and before you take the picture and clean it up. Then, of course, get all of your door jams. You want to be sure that you get those just so that you're sure.
Should I leave my dirty workout clothes in the trunk when I do those pictures? Yes or no?
No way. Absolutely not. Yeah.
And then how about our golf clubs? Golf clubs?
No, nothing. And if you have golf clubs, I guarantee you that you need to vacuum. There's grass every time.
Yes.
So, but on the interior, get a close-up of each seat, the back seat area, different angles of the interior. Get a picture of the different displays, each screen. Ensure that you're including the odometer reading, so you're showing that the odometer is accurate to what you listed in the description. Show the full range, or the range at full charge. That's a big question that we always get at EV Bids, is at full charge, what's the range? This also helps people to determine the degradation of the battery. So if it's a Tesla, show the software screen where it shows what software is installed in the car, if it has autopilot, or if you have the full self-drive 12 lifetime subscription, or if it's even eligible, you can see if it's FSD eligible on the software screen. And then continuing on, don't shy away from showing the imperfections and point them out. If you're in a good neutral area, they won't be highlighted by the sun. And so you can take pictures of any scratches or dents or dings and point them out to people so that they can see what's going on. That builds so much confidence. People think that when you add stuff like that, it does the opposite, that it takes away or minimizes confidence. It actually builds up confidence because you're not hiding anything. I'm not going to get this and be surprised.
It builds trust because it's a used vehicle, and there's no such thing as a perfect pre-owned vehicle. If it's been on the road, in fact, most new vehicles aren't even perfect for that matter, but certainly used vehicles have imperfections. They have dents, dings, and scratches. And I agree with you, Tori. I think it builds trust. It builds confidence when you disclose those. It lets people know, especially in a private party deal where maybe I'm going to have the car shipped to me, you know, I don't want to get this thing and find out I had, you know, a $800 or $1,000 windshield repair that they didn't disclose. It just, that's kind of a, just a bad karma to do stuff like that. And we're really, really big on ensuring that you get what you believe you're going to get through proper disclosure and documentation.
No surprises.
No surprises.
That's the goal. The goal is no surprises. And then just the last thing here would be include any accessories or covers or if there's any kind of, you know, spare parts. If you have, I've seen people who have different kind of plug-in adapters where you can more easily charge your phone, stuff like that. Just include that. If it comes with the plug-in charger, show a picture of the plug-in charger. Don't just leave it in the trunk or the frunk area. Show a clean picture of the trunk, and then take a separate picture of the accessory or the cable so that people can see what they're getting, and that builds value. So that, I know that's a lot, and that's why the plan is so important. Just to go back to the original question, this seems like a lot of stuff, but if you have a plan and if you do it right the first time, it's really not that complicated, you know, to make happen. And you can really build a lot of value in your car.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason, obviously, at EV Bids, we specialize in private party EV sales. And the reason that most private parties are selling their EV themselves, as opposed to trading it in, is they're wanting to maximize the value of that EV. And so if you go into the steps to sell it yourself as a private party, you're obviously maximizing the value of something that's important to you. And that's why it's just so important to have a plan. So, you know, one kind of last thing in wrapping this thing up, Tori, you know, what do you think about hiring a professional photographer, or, you know, having a friend or family member who may be good at taking pictures, handle this for you? I know, you know, I mentioned the professional photographer in the real estate world. Do you think that that's something worth it, or what are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's not a bad idea to hire a professional, depending upon the price of the car too, the quality and price of the car. But for most people, I don't think that is necessary, hiring a professional. But if you've got a friend or family member who's better at taking pictures, absolutely. You know, my wife is so funny. She's so great at design, like interior design and organization, and you would think she'd be the perfect person for photography. But anytime somebody, you know, if we're out at, you know, Disney World, or we're out somewhere, somebody says, "Hey, let's get a picture," she's like, "Tori," or somebody else. She just doesn't take good pictures. She, out of, for all of the amazing things that she's good at, the details of what to include in a picture just aren't something that latch into her mind. And so if that's you, then absolutely get a friend or a family member, or pay a little bit of money for somebody to come and get some pictures. Doesn't have to be at your house. That's the good news. You can drive to them and get it done for very cheap or for free from a friend or family member. But yes, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, this has been some good, really good stuff, Tori. And just to kind of, I've made some notes here just to kind of recap some of the highlights. You know, get your EV cleaned up good, you know, before you take your pictures. Get your lighting right. End of the day, shade is best. Or like Tori said, find a shady spot and you can turn the car around and take pictures of both sides. So, you know, get your quality photos, have it in a neutral background, no crazy stuff on the outside and the backgrounds, and no crazy stuff on the inside. Take plenty of photos and really have a plan for doing it. And so to kind of close us out here, we're going to put a copy of our EV Bids photo checklist on our website. You guys can go there and download a PDF copy of that to help you have a plan. And you can always reach out to us at info@evbids.com if you need any help resolution size or aspect ratios, or you want to get more granular, we kind of try to stay away from too much technical stuff, and we'd be happy to help. So with that, for Tory Hornsby, this is Rod Stuckey. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, Tory.
Thanks.